Hey, good bach, everybody. It's a true schus to be back together. To be back together, to learn Torah together. Matzah Shabbos Kodesh. It's been a while. Baruch Hashem, hopefully we've all been growing and learning in different ways. But it's been a while since we've been together and been together here. And something very special, the continuity of this shir over the years. It says a lot when a certain kviyas of a learning takes a break, and that time when we get back together, it shows that we're really connected the entire time. Connected to Torah, connected to the growth that goes on here. And on a personal level, I want to thank each and every one of you, because it gives me a lot of chiyas as well, mi talmida yoser mi kulam, to be together Matzah Shabbos, especially Matzah Shabbos. I know this year sometimes we're on Thursday night, sometimes Matzah Shabbos, sometimes other times. Thursday night's Erev Shabbos, to prepare for Shabbos, but Shabbos is so special. Shabbos, we're so in tune with ourselves and with the Rabbonu Shalom, and we're all that we want to be, and then we enter back into the week, and as we know, there are individuals that are involved in all different types of things on what they might refer to as Saturday night, so we refer to as Matzah Shabbos, to try to pull Shabbos into the week. In no more special way than learning Torah, continuing to grow together. I want to just start by thanking Julia, because, she could have. You know, the shir has been going on for years, and there are different special individuals who've taken a role in ensuring that it happens in different ways. Starting years ago with Daniela Coppell, and then Cesare Schreier, and Elisa Schreier. And Naomi Goldstein, who Baruch Hashem is now in Eretz Yisrael. So she was the one who really started the shir here in the Red Shul. And Baruch Hashem, we should all be zocher to be with her soon. So she'll have we have a makom by her apartment or somewhere she'll take care of, Bekarov. Hopefully by next time we have shir together. In the meantime, while we're here, so I want to just thank Julia for taking care of all the details and everything that we need to be able to be together. It's a big schus for you and for the Mishpacha Bez Hashem. There was a very wealthy man who lived in Vilna. And one of his hobbies was he collected very expensive vintage wine. He had a big mansion and he had a wine cellar. All different types of exquisite, expensive wines. Very, very old, precious, barrels of wine, vats of wine. One day, he was in his house and a very special Rav came to visit. Big Talmud Chacham, Tzaddik. And he was having Suda with him. So he wanted to treat him to a very nice wine. So he called his butler. And he asked his butler to go downstairs and he explained to him a specific wine. If he could come and go get that wine. And the butler goes downstairs and he disappears. 5 minutes go by, 10 minutes go by, and he's talking to the Rav. He's enjoying that time. 15 minutes go by. Eventually, the wealthy man goes downstairs into the cellar to see what's going on. What happened to the butler? And he walks into the room. He walks into the room where the wine was being kept. And he couldn't believe his eyes. He sees broken bottles everywhere. There's wine on the floor. There are vats of wine, expensive, priceless wine that has literally cracks in the bottle, in the vats, and leaking all over the place. Mamish destruction. Destruction, the entire wine cellar was broken glass everywhere. And he realized his trusted butler, seemingly, on this night had one too many drinks. And he lost it. He lost it. He was drunk, he was whatever, that's what he figured. But he wasn't there, the butler was missing. And he's looking all over and he goes through, he had a large basement, but he's going through all the different rooms. And he can't find him anywhere. He can't find him anywhere. So he doesn't know what to do. He doesn't know what to do. So he goes upstairs and he starts looking around. And he's going through his house, and finally he walks into one of the studies and he sees his butler sitting in a chair, reading the newspaper, definitely under the influence, but as if everything in the world is fine. And the butler looks up and he initiates the conversation. He starts talking to his master and he says to him, you know, I was thinking about it. I really deserve a raise. What do you say about upping my pay? You know, each and every one of us, we are about to enter into Rosh Hashanah. We're about to enter into that time in the year where each and every one of us is going to ask of Hashem, plea with Hashem for a year of simcha, a year of bracha, a year of parnasa, a year of health, a year where those of us who are in their parasha are fine, looking for and will be blessed by Hashem with our shidduch, with our basheret, with all different types of brachos and simcha. And we're gonna be davening all Rosh Hashanah long for this. Pay attention. On Rosh Hashanah, we don't do tshuva on Rosh Hashanah. There are no al-chaits in our davening. There's no time when we're going through and confessing to Rabbanu Shalom all that we've done wrong. What are we doing? We're talking about the greatness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're mamlech Hashem. But we're going to all, each and every one of us, we're yearning and davening and asking for that year of bracha and simcha, as we know it's being determined on Rosh Hashanah. So how are we going to enter into that? How are we going to enter into that? Just talking myself, sometimes I feel on Rosh Hashanah, I feel like that butler. You know, the butler asked for the raise, but that was like the worst timing in the world. The last timing, the worst timing in the world to ask for a raise was at that very moment. So we're going to ask for our raise. We're going to go Rosh Hashanah and ask for our raise in every way. And we all want a raise because this last year was very difficult. This last year was a year where we didn't taste the sweetness. Maybe all of us individually had bracha and simcha, but on a Klal Yisrael level, on a Klal Yidik level, it was a tough year. It was a difficult year. A lot of pain, a lot of suffering. And we're going to ask for a different year. We're going to ask for a raise, Rabbanu Shalom. So we definitely can't go into that, because sometimes we might feel like we're going into that and we're just asking, but what have we shown for it? What have we done during this whole year for the Rabbanu Shalom? Have we done enough? Have we lived up to who we could have been? Have we davened the way we should have davened? Have we treated people the way that we should have treated people? Always. Not sometimes when we choose, I mean always. Have we worked on ourselves? Have we worked on who we are as people, who we are as Jews? Because we're going to ask. We're going to ask. Hopefully the Rabbanu Shalom is not going to look at it the way that that man was looking at that butler. So I know we're here Matzei Shabbos Kodesh. And hopefully each and every one of us could look into ourselves and say, I know, I'm not that butler already. I had a year where I've worked on myself. I've grown. I have what to show. But what more can we do? How can we prepare at this point with 2 days left until Rosh Hashanah and during Rosh Hashanah to ensure that all of our requests, all that we're going to be davening for, the Rabbanu Shalom looks at us and says, of course I want to give that to my beautiful children. And not the way that that guy was looking at his butler. So that's why we're here together tonight. And I just want to point out, I should have before even the mashal, but MS, you could say it as it is, I forgot and I was too excited to start sharing Torah because it's been a while. But all that we're going to prepare tonight for this Halig day is Lili Nishmas, a very, very special woman. The Mishpacha I'm super close to, that it feels like family, the Englanders. So many of their children are my Talmidim. Ben and Yal are very, very special people in our community. And they're sponsoring tonight Lili Nishmas, Chana Bas Naftali, Tzadikas, Ben's mother, Mrs. Englander. She was a Kaddish Dikayid, a survivor of the Holocaust, a survivor of Auschwitz. I remember her, Mamish, an incredible woman. And just to tell one thing before we move on, to see where her she'ifas were, where her yearning was. Someone who went through the Holocaust, who saw Gehenna Mal Art, whatever difficult this past year was that I just described, obviously doesn't compare to what she saw in her with her eyes. And afterwards, the family was going, I believe, if I remember correctly, to Australia to rebuild. And she said to her family, no, there's only one place we go. And that's to Eretz Yisrael. There's one place a Jew is supposed to be, to Eretz Yisrael. That she had such a she'ifas for Kedusha, for Eretz Yisrael. Can't imagine what she went through and how broken one would have been. But no, I want to be in Eretz Yisrael. I want to be in Kedusha. And now she's Zocha that she has a granddaughter who got married this year and living in Eretz Yisrael. And just that alone, obviously, there's two lessons from that, by the way. One of them is obviously the focus and how each and every one of us should want to be in Eretz Yisrael. And obviously, we have our cheshbonos and reasons maybe why we need to be here for now. But my mom still cry every night that I can't go to Eretz Yisrael. Davening, I have a ticket a week from Monday night. We'll see. Everyone's telling me there's no chance, but Altis Yayesh, I'm not giving up. I'm going to daven. I'm not canceling my ticket till the latest moment that I have I have a Talmud who's a very close Talmud of mine who's my travel agent as well. And he's calling me, should I cancel? Should I get it? I say, you hold on to it till I have to cancel. If you tell me I have to cancel and I'm going to lose all the money, okay, because at this point, but otherwise, hold on to it. I'm davening. You never know. It's Rosh Hashanah. It all could change. But the she'if was to live in Eretz Yisrael, to spend our lives in Eretz Yisrael, to raise our children in Eretz Yisrael. But also, a second lesson from her, and that is just that even after going through the most difficult of times, even going through the greatest challenges of history, and we all have our challenges on our levels, her she'ifas, her yearning from that, was not to throw in the towel and give up, but to rebuild, and rebuild beautiful children and grandchildren, Shomrei Torah mitzvos, but rebuild and go to Kedusha, to go to a higher place. And that's what our attitude should always be as well. So all the Torah of the Chizik should be Lili Nishmasa, Bezer Shemes Baruch. She should be Zoyecha to be Malay Tzvi Yoshra for a beautiful family until they're taunting with her Tchis Mesim Bekarv. So how are we going to prepare? How are we going to prepare and ensure that when we're going to be davening for all that we want, that we should, daven for all that you're thinking and more. Don't stop davening. It's what the Eibishter wants from us. Ms. Avil is the Tvilasun Shal Nashim Tikanios, the Kodesh Baruch Hu wants your Tvilos. Sometimes he's waiting even to give us and he just needs the Tvilos. That's how he created the world. That's how the world runs on Tvila. You see so many sources for this. But how are we going to ensure we're not like that butler who's asking for the raise at the worst of times? What can we do these last few days? First of all, just recognize more and more how dependent we are on Rosh Hashanah. Before anything else, and that is to understand that Rosh Hashanah is different than any other holiday. Every other Yom Tov is commemorating the past. Again, there's a deep idea from the Michtam Eliyahu that the koach of the Yom Tov is here as well. But we're remembering, on Pesach we're remembering when we left Mitzrayim. And on Sukkot we're remembering whether it's the Nanei HaKavod or the huts that we sat in the Midbar. And on Purim we're remembering that Hashem saved us from Haman. Rosh Hashanah is Hayoyim Haras Olam. What is Hayoyim Haras Olam? So first of all, yes, there is a commemoration of the past. That is the day that man was created. It's the sixth day of creation. There is something that occurred. That's why it's Rosh Hashanah. That's when we were brought into this world. On Rosh Hashanah. And it happens to be the same day that we sinned for the first time. And therefore need to be tshuva. So we need to do tshuva. We understand why it's that day. Why is Rosh Hashanah on that day? But that's not something to commemorate. That's not a simcha because we sinned on that day. That's not a yontif. Hayoyim haras olam doesn't just mean it's a day that gave birth to man. But it's hayoyim haras olam, it's a day that's giving birth to the upcoming year. Rosh Hashanah, unlike every holiday, is a holiday for the future, not a holiday of the past. When all is being determined. And we have to really believe that. We have to know that. There's a Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, and I want to explain what it's like. There's a Gemara in Rosh Hashanah. The Gemara in Rosh Hashanah compares us on Rosh Hashanah to sheep that are being counted. Some of you may have heard this before, learned this before, that we all, each and every one of us, and most look at that as that each and every one of us is going to go before God and be counted before God, just like sheep are counted by the shepherd. But what does that mean exactly? So where do we know in halacha that sheep are counted? You know when we know that sheep are counted? The mitzvah of Ma'aser Behema. That if you have sheep, the halach is you have to give Ma'aser on those sheep, right? You have to give 1/10 of the sheep to the Kohanim. So how do you count those sheep? So listen to what the Mishnah says. Because if we're compared to being counted on Rosh Hashanah, there must be some similarity to the sheep that are being counted for Ma'aser. The Mishnah says. Here, close the doors. Ketzad ma'asrin. How do we do ma'aser? Koinsin l'dir. You go into the deer, into the place where all the sheep are fenced in. Ve'oyislam pesach katan. And you make a small opening, a very small opening. Kidei shelo yiyu shnayim yicholim l'tzeis ka'achas, so that two can't go out together. Okay, so meaning, imagine you have this, you have the makom, you could imagine, you've all been, if you haven't been to an actual farm, you've been to a zoo, and a petting zoo, and you see all the sheep behind the fence, and imagine you broke a little, you made a little hole in the fence, a little opening, big enough for one sheep at a time to come through. That alone is a mashal to us that we're one at a time going to be counted by the Rabbanu Shalom. Hashem looks at each and every one of us. He loves each and every one of us. But He's going to analyze each and every one of us. Umone b'shevet, and they're counted while the shepherd's holding the shevet, he's holding a rod. Echad, Shnayim, Shloisha, Arba, Chamisha, Shisha, Shiva, Shmaina, Tisha, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Vayoytzi Asiri, and when the 10th one comes out, Sokro, Vesikro, Vayomer, Hariza Meiser. He slaps some red paint on it, on the back, a little red paint, and he says, this is Meiser. That's what happens. That's the Mishnah. The Mishnah ends there. But what happens afterwards? The Mishnah doesn't tell us. What then? What happens then? It's over, so you found your Meiser. By the way, and he continues to do this. The next sheep comes through, right? Let's say you have 100 sheep, so he has to do this 10 times. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. But there's a beautiful lesson in why he does that. Why can't he just... But just a side note, a big chiddush, a big chizik. Why can't the shepherd just count all the sheep and say, "Ah, I have 100 sheep," and then just take 10 and give it to Meiser? What happens when you're giving Meiser? These are your sheep that you raised and that you own, and you're giving it to the kohen. You're giving it up, which is the biggest siman and recognition. No, everything I have is from Hashem. So you know what we want? We want you to feel so good and recognize everything you have to Hashem. It's from Hashem. And see how much He gives you. So you hear the system? This is the system. One is for me. Two, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave me. Three, Hashem gave me. Four, the Rabbanu Shalom gifted me. Five, the Rabbanu Shalom decided that I should have. Six, the Rabbanu Shalom decided that should help my parnasa. Seven should be for me and my children. Eight, the Kodesh Baruch Hu gave me. Nine, the Rabbanu Shalom doesn't stop giving me. Ten, okay, let me give one for the Rabbanu Shalom. And by such a system, you mamish, just each time, see how much HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives you. How can you not give back to Hashem? That's something we have to see. To recognize all that Hashem does for us. Not just the things that we don't have yet and we want. And we have to ask for that as well. Rosh Hashanah is a good time to also stop and be thankful. And look at all that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does do for us. And all HaKadosh Baruch Hu does give to us. So much more to be thankful for. There is what that we don't have yet. And there is what that we have to ask for. Baruch Hashem, there's so much David Shah does for us. But again, let's get back to the Mishnah. So Mishnah tells us that 10th sheep comes out and slaps a little bit of paint on the back. And then what? So the Mishnah doesn't tell us. You know what happens then? That sheep goes in and they go back, all the sheep go back together and goes to mingle with its friends. And the sheep go to hang out together until the shepherd's ready to give it to the kohen, but they go to hang out. Does that sheep know anything about what's going on, that it's got that red mark and that basically Chesnesh is going to be shechted? He has no idea. No idea. Doesn't know that at all. It comes out and it just continues its life as if everything's normal. Shkoyach, everybody went through that gate. I'm no different than my 9 friends that were before me. But it's very different. You're the Meiser. So too, on some level, and maybe a deeper nimshal of the Gemara that tells us we're counted like sheep, is that that's too what's going to happen for Rosh Hashanah. We go through Rosh Hashanah, and it's going to be Chmesus on Thursday, Tzum Gedalia, Wednesday night, and we're going to just feel like, okay, I had some good davenings, I went through Rosh Hashanah, it's all the same. I'm going to go hang out with my friends and get something to eat. It's a whole different world. Hopefully full of brach and simcha and shefa. But it's a whole different world. Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to be soiker besikra. Kadosh Baruch Hu also is going to, it's going to be a din at that point. It's real. So how do we make sure? What can we do to make sure that it's going to be an incredible din, an incredible year, and simcha and bracha for us and for our families, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to answer all the tefillos? So I want to share an idea that Mamish just came to me last week. I think it's based on something we spoke about once before, but it's a whole different take. So maybe I close that door too. There's a Mishnah that I always think about these days. And it's very connected to these days. Even though it's a Mishnah that I think most of Klal Yisrael thinks about at a different time in the year. And the Mishnah you all know. Every single one of you knows this Mishnah. Because it's a song. Oh, if more Torah was songs, we'd know a lot more Torah. So this Mishnah says, Amar Rabbi Akiva, Ashreichem Yisroel, Lifnei mi'atam etar, mi mitar eschem, Avichem shavashamayim, Ashreichem. Right, we all know, right, we know the song. Amar Rabbi Akiva, Ashreichem Yisroel. So we connect this to Lag BaOmer time, right? Because those are the days of Rabbi Akiva, and we sing that on Lag BaOmer. So everyone connects this Mishnah to Lag BaOmer time. And it is very deeply connected to Lag BaOmer as well, which we'll see in a moment. But it's deeply connected to these days as well. How do I know that? Because it's the final Mishnah in Masechtas Yuma. Masechtas Yuma, Yuma means day, it's talking about the day. The holiest day of the year, which is what? Yom Kippur. It's the Masechta that deals all with Yom Kippur. So if this is the final Mishnah in the Masechta of Yom Kippur, clearly deeply connected to these days. There's no question. So first, just to share an idea that came to me recently. I saw years ago, this I think I've shared with some of the Chevra before, when thinking of the connection of this Mishnah to the days of Svira and Lag BaOmer, so the Neslanim Rebbe, Nesiva Shalom, has an incredible remez. We start off, Amar Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva says, Ashreichem Yisrael, praiseworthy are, lifnei mi atem mitarim, in front of who are you purified? Umi mitar eschem, and who purifies you? Now first of all, obviously, that's why surely these days are talking about right now. Days of Tahara, days of purification. You know what it means to be pure? It's what we all want in life. Ein tzadik parshel lo yachka. I don't know about you, but I've done plenty wrong this year. And what we look for at this point in the year, besides for davening, for all the bracha and simcha like we spoke about, it's just a time to be cleansed and be pure. And purity is the most beautiful thing in the world. To feel that whatever I've messed up and whatever blemishes I have on me, they're completely gone. I'm what we call a bir yichadash, a new being. And that's what tahara is. Tahara means I'm pure again. I'm a new person. It's all wiped away. I'm starting fresh, which is awesome. We all want that. But why does he have to say it twice? Lifnei mi atem mitarim. In front of who do you purify? Umi mitareschem. Who purifies you? Avichem shemayim. So God purifies us. God is the source of our purity. God is the one that could bring tahara to us. But why say it in two ways? From both angles. In front of who do we purify and who purifies us? Just say it once. Lifnei mi atem mitarim. Or mi mitareschem. It means the same thing. It's just two angles of saying the same thing, right? This is a Mishnah. Every word is precious. It's Rabbi Akiva we're talking about. Why do you have to say it from two ways? So Nesiva Shalom, when looking at this Mishnah, is talking about the days of Svira, which is also a time of purity, a time when we work on something, we grow. We all know we left Mitzrayim at the 49th level of Tumah, and we need 49 days to grow, to purify ourselves, to receive the Torah. He says something very beautiful. Me is Gematria. It's an easy one. What's me? Gematria, 50. Right? Mem is 40 and Yud is 10. What's lifnei mi? What's before 50? 49. So he says, Rabbi Akiva is teaching us in a deeper way. Lifnei mi, the days before 50, the 50th day, which is Shavuos, the 49 days of Svira HaOmer, atem mitarin. You have to purify yourself. work on yourself, grow during the days of Sfiras Omer. That's what they're there for. Umi, and you get to the 50th, you get to Shavuos, Kabbalah Torah. Umi, mitar eschem avichem mishvah shamayim. Then Hashem will take you to the highest of places. If we, lifnei, work on ourselves and grow, then me, we get to the 50th, Hashem will take us to places we didn't even know we had within us. Exponential growth. Do our part and Hashem will do the rest. Beautiful teaching of the Slonim HaRebbe. Beautiful read of this Mishnah. Of why Rabbi Kiva says both ways. So I want to suggest Lanias Taiti, it's also talking about these days. Because this Mishnah clearly is. It's the last Mishnah in Yom Kippur, in Yuma. So maybe you could understand this as follows. When did these days of purity really begin? So I know most people are probably thinking, I would never embarrass them, I can call on anybody here, don't worry. But you're probably thinking, I'm sure the general answer would be Rosh Chodesh El. That's how we look at it. When Moshe Rabbeinu went up to Shemayim to get the second Luchos after Chet Eagle, that's the beginning of days of Tshuva, right? 40 days from then until Yom Kippur. Beginning is Rosh Chodesh El. But I'll tell you the truth. I think about it differently. Always. I think it starts way before then. Rosh Chodesh El definitely intensifies. We start hearing Shofar, L'David Hashem Orvi Yishi, for sure. But I'll tell you where I believe it starts. I believe it starts that day in the summer. When in the middle of the summer, when we're enjoying and we're having a nice summer, we sit on the floor. We sit on the floor and we say kinos. And remember that we're nowhere where we should be. And there's so much more we can be. And there's so much more I need to do to bring about Geula because it's not here yet. And when we remember all the tragedies that occurred over this past year, what is the point of that? Is it to be sad? Hashem doesn't want us being sad. Hashem doesn't want us crying. He wants us to be besimcha. But He wants us to be our best selves. So He gives us that day to commemorate and remember all that is still wrong with Klal Yisrael, all that has gone wrong, so that I pick myself up after that day and start working on myself and being a different person. Tisha B'Av is of the greatest sparks to be mechazik each and every one of us, to say, I got to be more. And therefore that's when it starts, the Sheva, the Nechemta, which the Nechama comes from each and every one of us working on ourselves, starts then, until Rosh Hashanah, which is the beginning of a Aseret Yemei Teshuvah, which takes over in a whole new light. So it really begins. Yes, Rosh Chodesh El intensifies, but it really, really, really begins Tisha B'Av. That's what I believe. From Tisha B'Av until Rosh Hashanah is 50 days. From Tisha B'Av until Rosh Hashanah is 50 days. Maybe Rabbi Akiva is teaching each and one of us as well. Over Rabbi Akiva, Ashreichem Yisrael, praiseworthy are each and every one of us. You know why we have the schus to be metar, the schus of tshuva, the schus that we can be pure again and rectify what we've done wrong. So therefore, what Ashreichem Yisrael, lifnei mi, before the 50th day, which from Tisha B'Av is Rosh Hashanah, before Rosh Hashanah, during these days leading up to Rosh Hashanah, atem mitarim, you go and purify yourself, you work on yourself, you grow. Umi, and on the 50th of Rosh Hashanah, we're gonna all be in Shul Rosh Hashanah, we're gonna hear the shofar blow, we're gonna be davening like we don't daven all year. Mitar eschem avichem shel shamayim. Hashem will take us all to the most beautiful, most pure of places. Chevra, but we have a couple more days of Lifnei. We have still more time. And it's not too late. It's never too late to do our part. And then Hashem will take us to the most beautiful of places on Rosh Hashanah. It's going to be incredible. I feel it. It's going to be a big year. Me'ashvos yirim evyon. Me'ashvos. Ashvos is like from the garbage, right? Ashva. Me'ashvos yirim evyon. We lift up those who are impoverished. Ashbos our Oisios Tafshim Pei Aleph. Tafshim Pei Aleph, this past year that we still have a couple more days left. That was Ashpos, and we saw it. But your Ashpos from them and your Rim of Yom, we're going to be lifted up. It's going to be big. But we have still Lifnei, we have to do our part. But there's only 2 days. How much can we do? And truth is, that question is asked even if there weren't only 2 days. Because when we start to really analyze, if I want to really do enough in what I should be doing, let's be real. If I was really truthful with myself, I have like every area of my life I need to improve in. I don't even know where to begin. I could daven better. I could learn more. I could be nicer to others. I could connect to Shabbos more. Is there an area I don't feel that I could improve in? I'm just talking for myself. So what do I do then? What's my lifnei me? What's my assurance that I'm not that butler that's just breaking wine bottles before I'm going to request the world of the Rabbonei Shalom? So Rabbi Akiva teaches us. He goes a step further. After telling us the chizik of lifnei me, the chizik of us doing our part before Hashem is going to be mitar us, he teaches us as well. Listen closely. Because right after that, he quotes two psukim. Right? Lifnei me after mitar, mitar, it's avichim shemayim, shenemar. First he says, mikveh Yisrael Hashem. One proof from Torah that Hashem purifies us is the pasuk, mikveh Yisrael Hashem. God is our mikveh. Ma mikveh metar sa tameim, af HaKadosh Baruch Hu metar Yisrael. Just like the mikveh is metar someone who's tamei, Hashem purifies us. Mikveh. So one comparison to God purifying us is mikveh. But then he gives another comparison. And he says what? A second pasuk. Vizarakti aleichem mayim torim. God sprinkles upon us purifying waters. And that's a comparison to the Parah Aduma. We know that when someone was Tamei, certain types of Tumah, you can go to the mikvah. Tumah mace, if you touch a dead body, mikvah doesn't help. You need the ashes of the Parah Aduma mixed with water, and they have to be sprinkled upon you by a Kohen. Why needing the two psukim? Just give us one. That's good. Rabbi Akiva, you tell us mikveh Yisrael Hashem, that's good enough for me that God can purify us. I don't need the next pasuk. So it was a big tzaddik, whose yahrzeit was just not long, a few weeks ago, his 20th yahrzeit. Rabbi Avram Yaakov HaKoyin Pam Zeichas Adekosh Bracha. Rabbi Pam was the Rashiv of Torv Das. My Bechor Shmuel, his middle name, is named after Rav Pam. Rav Pam was Avram Yaakov. Avram is my father's middle name, so I couldn't name that name. We're already naming Shmuel after my wife's grandfather, who was Shmuel. And Shmuel was born on a Thursday afternoon, Chav Zayin Av, 20 years ago. A few hours later, that night, Rav Pam passed away. His yahrzeit is actually Chav Ches, it was after the nighttime. Rav Pam was a Kohen, we're Kohanim. Rav Pam, if you learn about him, was a tzaddik, not just a Talmid Chacham, but his midos were impeccable, like his care for others. I said, that's what. So we took his middle name, Yaakov, is my son Shmuel Yaakov. So Rav Pam said as follows, listen to this, incredible. He has a sefer, Atar LaMelech, it's incredible. And he explains that the process of mikvah is extremely different than the process of Parah Aduma. Yes, they both use water to bring Tahara. But by mikvah, an individual has to be completely immersed in the mikvah to bring Tahara. If one drop is outside the mikvah, you have a pinky, you're in the mikvah, but a pinky's sticking out. It doesn't work. Your whole body has to be in the mikveh. Every drop of you. By the sprinkling of the waters of the Parah Aduma, it was completely the opposite. It was completely the opposite. You didn't have to be soaked. It didn't have to go over your whole body. It wasn't like some crazy water fight. If the kohen sprinkled you and it touched your pinky, you're tahar. You're tahar. So Rav Palm says, you know what Rav Akiva is teaching each and every one of us? How much the deepest secret in the world? He's saying, of course there's tahara and there's tshuva and kapara by cleansing every drop of a person. Mikvah! To be a mikvah dika yid and say, I'm going to Rosh Hashanah and I'm changing everything. I'm going to start davening incredibly and learning incredibly and dressing mamish with every chumr and sneeze, and the way I treat every person. There is, that's mikvah. Every little part of my body is being changed and fixed and purified. But let's be real. Most of us, if we thought to do that, maybe for a day, maybe 2 days, we'll come crumbling down. It's just too much. It's not how growth works. But Ramchal taught us that at the beginning of Mesil Sharm, right? Step by step. Step by step. So there is a concept of mikvah. In a perfect world, we'd love to, but Pam's teaching us, Rabbi Kiva's teaching us, don't think that's the only way. There's another way to do for Hashem. There's another way to show Hashem as I enter into Rosh Hashanah Tafshin Pei Beis that I'm doing my part, that I'm my lifnei me. There's also the sprinkling of the Parah Aduma. And the sprinkling of the Parah Aduma wasn't every, it didn't soak, have to soak me. It wasn't every single area of my life, even if it touched one area. One little change. One area of growth. One thing that I'm going to be doing differently for the Rabbeinu Shalom this year. That's my Vizarak Lechamem Torim. That's my purification. That's my working on myself. And that, every single one of us could do. And that every single one of us could do, even with 2 days left, over these next couple days and on Rosh Hashanah, to have something that I'm going to walk into Rosh Hashanah and say, Rabbeinu Shalom, I'm going to request the world, because I want to hear of Simcha and Bracha and Parnas and Shidduchim and health for myself, for all of Klal Yisrael. I'm going to ask for it all. But not like that butler. Because you know what I have to show to you? I can show to you that I started davening mincha by saying every single word in a siddur for the last 2 days that I haven't done. And it's a different tefillah. I started saying two tillim every day extra that I wasn't doing. I decided to start every single day calling one person that I thought could use a phone call. Not to give them chizuk, just to call and say hello, because I thought there's somebody, and think about each day a person that I think by my calling them, they're going to be happier people, and they could use that. Maybe they don't have the social life that they wish they would have. So I'm going to do that. I started once a week actually thanking my parents for all they do for me, which I've taken for granted until now. Again, these are just some small examples. To each their own. But an area, but something. My tshuva, my change. My change is my tahara. And I do, and that, Rabbi Kiva is saying there are two psukim. Yes, there's tahara of mikvah, but there's also tahara of paraduma. And maybe I'm not going to do mikvah, but I'm doing that, and they're equal, basically. They're both in the Mishnah. And then I did my part. And then, Umi, on the 50th, on Rosh Hashanah, Mitar Eschem Avichem Shemayim. Hashem's going to purify each and every one of us in the most special of ways. Every single one of us. This we can do. Take something that's going to be real. But of course, we're going to daven and we're going to put our all into Rosh Hashanah. But I'm also coming with something. I'm not coming with broken bottles. Maybe there were broken bottles during the year. Maybe there were a lot of broken bottles during the year. But these last few days, I'm going to show HaKadosh Baruch Hu I'm fixing that. And I'm not just going to come and request. I'm going to come and request, but bring him Nachas Ruach so that he wants to fulfill my request. It doesn't even have to be on an Avera. It could be on a mitzvah. Just do it better. It's also tshuva. It's also tshuva. I learned that, by the way. You know, there's certain Torahs that stick with you. When I was 11th grade in MTA. On Sum Gedalia, right now. Rabbi Binyamin Yudin Shlita. He's a very big tzaddik in Fairlawn. My family goes very way back with. His children are of my closest friends. So he came and spoke to MTA. He said, there's a medrash that says Reuven was the very first person to do tshuva. Vayeshev Reuven al bar, when he went back to the pit, I don't have to tell you the storyline, you all know it, to pull Yosef at tzaddik out. He was the first one to do tshuva. And all the Mefarshim ask, really? There's a medrash that Kayin did tshuva after he killed Hevel. There's a medrash that Adam did tshuva after he ate from Neitz Hadas. So there's different answers. He said, read the storyline. Reuven, all the brothers want to kill Yosef. Who's the one that convinces him to not kill him and throw him in the pit? Reuven. Because he probably thought that was the most he could do at that time. He was against all his other brothers. Then he leaves, and he goes to take care of his father, right? We all learned this. And he thinks to himself, yeah, I did something good, but it wasn't good enough. He's still going to die in that pit. There's no water, there's nechashim v'akrav, and snakes and scorpions. I did something good, but I have to do better. But Yashav Reuven Elabari went back to the pit. Rabbi Yudin suggested, Kayin did tshuva after doing an avera. Adam did tshuva after doing avera. You know what it means Reuven was the first to do tshuva? He was the first to do tshuva on a mitzvah. I did something good, I could even do it better. That's also tshuva. So it doesn't even have to be on something I'm doing wrong. Sometimes that's harder, and I'm not ready for that. Even something I'm doing, but do it better. I'm davening, but a little bit longer. I'm saying my brachos, but I'm going to start saying them slowly and thinking about every word. These are all tshuva. Tiku b'achoydeh shoyfer b'kesel liyom chagenu. Kesa means kesa, it's hidden, it's covered. Kesel liyom chagenu, it's a chag, it's covered. We're not going to know what our din is. But the Medrash says, tiku b'achoydeh shoyfer. B'choydeh shizat techadshu maseichem. In this month we do new things. And b'choydeh shizat techadshu maseichem. Shifra, we beautify. Meaning not only to take upon something new, but take upon something we're doing and beautify it. That's also tshuva. That's Vizarakti Chamayim Torim. That we could show the Rabbonu Shel Olam, we all can, that we're Baalei Tshuva. In at least one little area, I'm a Baal Tshuva. And that's like I went to the mikveh then, Rabbi Kiva is teaching us. It's like I'm doing it all. And every little thing, if we knew how much Hashem appreciates that. I just read over Shabbos a story from Yedid Nafshir of Judah Michelle. I'm sure some of the Chevra has his book. If you don't have it, you should get it. And it's not just for us these days. You can read it all year. And there's a story in there of a Yid who was going to visit the Chavetz Chaim. Imagine what it was to have the chance to go visit the Chavetz Chaim. He traveled, he had a long journey, and he got to Radin at night, and he went to the host where he was staying, and he was very, very tired, and he got into bed, he was excited the next day, he's going to see the Chavetz Chaim, but he wanted to get a good sleep, and he's laying in bed, and he realized, I forgot to daven Ma'ariv. See, you guys don't know from this, but trust me, it's happened to me. It's crazy nights, I'm here and there, and like, I'm mamish, and a guy is in bed, and it's like late and you're exhausted and you're already like washed up and you're in your pajamas or whatever you wear to sleep and you're laying there and you realize you didn't have ma'ariv, it's like the worst thought in the world. It's like, really? You know, because Meir, it's not like you're laying in bed, oh, I forgot to text someone, so that takes a second. Like, Meir takes time. If you're davening it properly, it should be at least a good 15 minutes. Give it at least 10. So, and it's talking to the Ribbono Shel Olam. So, it's a halacha, even. You're not supposed to in your pajamas, and it's inappropriate. So, really, if you're doing it right, it means getting up, getting dressed, going out of your room downstairs, taking a sitter. It's like, it's an avodah. When you've already been in bed, and you probably have very little sleep, and it's not an easy thing to do. It's like, it's, oh man, it's the worst thought. So then there are like guys that will just be like, I mean, some will just say, forget it. But let's say you're a bit tired, you care, you're not going to just say, forget it. So then some will just say, if Bnei Nishom loves me, and I'm just going to, you know, I'm just going to dive and laying in bed. You know, just lay. Well, nicely, okay, you can be yoitzi that way. But you can imagine, that's not the proper way to daven. So this guy's first, he thinks to himself, this guy, he's in bed, and he's thinking to himself, okay, forget it, I'm just going to daven that Shluffy Myers, you know? And then he says to himself, how could I do that? It's just, it's not right. I'm going to get up. Give me, I need to get my strength, I'm going to, and as he's saying to himself, I'm going to get up and get dressed, and he's thinking about, but I need a couple minutes, you know how it is, right? It's like in the morning when you wake up and you need a couple minutes, so the same thing here. But as he's thinking that and trying to get the strength, next thing he knows, it's the morning. And not only is it the morning, it's like late. And he has to jump out of bed and get to Shacharis so he doesn't miss his appointment with the Chafetz Chaim. It's a true story. He finally gets to Shacharis. So he missed Meir, he gets to Shacharis. Now there's a halacha called Tashlumin. I don't ever know Tashlumin, sure. And the Tashlumin is you can make up a tefillah you missed. So if you didn't have a Meir in an accidental situation, not on purpose, but this was the next thing, he fell asleep, he meant to. So the halacha would be in the morning when you're davening Shacharis, you have to daven two Shemoneh Esreis. But he's running and he's late, he's got to get to Chafetz Chaim. So not only did he miss his Meir, not only does he miss his Meiriv, he doesn't have the time, and he's like, I'm not going to rush it, and he daven Shacharis, but he can't do the Tashlumin. And he gets to the Chafetz Chaim. And he sees it, he feels bad about what happened, but he's so excited to see the Chafetz Chaim, and he has so many different brachos he wants to ask for, and things he wanted to ask for. And before he says a word, the Einei, the eyes of Talmid Chachamim, Sadiqim, the Chafetz Chaim looks at him. And the Chafetz Chaim says as follows. He says, you know, in Russia, about 100 years ago, the people were extremely affluent, were very, very wealthy. And if a person would drop a gold coin in the middle of the street, almost nobody would even bend down to get it. It's meaningless. I don't need it. But today, such a dire situation, so impoverished by the people. People are standing in lines, long lines, just to get the morsels of food. A coin fell on the floor, it would be mamish, a milchama, to try to get that coin. He looks at this man, the Chafetz Chaim, and he says, you know, once upon a time, we had a Beis HaMikdash. And we had Kohanim and Leviim, and we had Neviim. People probably thought to themselves, yeah, my mincha, my shachris, is that so chashuv, is that so important? There were karbanos, there was kohanim, baruch shein fo machuso leil mvair. He said, but today there's no Beis HaMikdash. There's no Nevi'im. Today, do you know for sure how precious every little thing is to the Eibishter in this impoverished time? He says, do you know how precious to Hashem a sleepy Meiriv and a rushed Tashlumin is? If you only knew how precious that is to Hashem in our day and age. That was in the time of Chafetz Chaim. Chaver, you know how precious every little thing is to the Ribbono Shel Olam? You know how precious it is when we dive into Hashem? You know how precious it is when we really keep a Shabbos? and connect to Shabbos. You know how more precious it is when we do tshuva and we say, I want to be more. I want to improve. I want to grow. It's not enough. I can't imagine. A few days left. We're going to ask, and we should ask. And Amir Hashem, we're going to be answered. But not to Chas V'Sholem going like that butler. We know, we understand, we appreciate, we know, and we're not blind to have that red mark on our back. We understand what the Rosh Hashanah is. We understand that it's big and it's powerful, and it's all being determined. And we're hoping and davening for a big year. Umi, that 50th, Rosh Hashanah Metaris, Hashem is going to give each and every one of you purity and simcha and bracha. But lifnei mi, we're still in the lifnei mi. Let's do our part. And don't think that it has to be a mikveh. It's not every little thing. Just at least one thing that each and every one of us is going to come to the Rabbanu Shalom and say, Rabbanu Shalom, do for me because look what I did for you. And Hashem appreciates it in the deepest of ways. And then each and every one of us will be zoich, each and every one of you and your families, to aksiv achsiv atayva, a gugavench yar, a year of simcha, a year of bracha, a year where all your tefillos are mekayim and mekabel, a year where not just you individually, but all of Klal Yisrael. We don't have to have pain and suffering by seeing and hearing of our brothers and sisters throughout the world. Where we'll be zeichet to, hopefully, Bez Hashem is baruch, will be this year, the Gula B'Prat, but as well as the Gula Shleima, Bez Hashem is baruch. And it should be a Shana Toiva U'Mesuka. And we know it's always good. It's always a Shana Toiva. Last year was also a Shana Toiva. Last year was also a Shana Toiva, because Kol Ma'adav Rechvanu L'Tavavim. In God's world, which He knows better than us, because He's living in the before, after, and during, in His worlds, He understands why. And therefore, really, it's good. Kol Ma'adav Rechvanu L'Tavavim. It's always Shana Toiva. Last year was Shana Toiva Umara. Last year was very bitter. Tashin Pe'alef was Ashvois. It was bitter. Hopefully we had good years individually, but if we were MS and there was a lot of pain, a lot of suffering, a lot of availance. So Mitzvah Hashem, this year for each and every one of you and for all Klai, so we shana taiva umesuka. Let's do our part to lifnei umi metarischem, vich mishrayim, full of simcha, full of bracha, for each and every one of you and for all Klai.